Today we're going to be talking about the blessing of Revelation in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. We're going to begin today. And over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and we are soon going to be talking about the bowl or vial judgments. But before that, we're going to look in chapter 13 today, and the blessings of Revelation for saved people is that all the wrath of God that's being displayed here will not concern us or affect us because we're going to be gone. We believe we're going to be raptured before the tribulation comes on a Christ-rejecting world. And this is why we're sharing these messages about the blessings of Revelation for God's people. And we know we're going to miss these awful judgments of the Lord when the wrath of God is poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. Now, before our eyes today, we're seeing the leaders of our nation destroy our nation. We're seeing them do that. It appears they are deliberately doing that. They're flaunting their abominable sins in the face of God and man. Yes, flaunting their abominable sins in the face of God and man. They're displaying their arrogance against those of us who are God-fearing people. We see this more and more as time progresses. And arrogance against those of us who believe in the Word of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are, without knowing it, however, preparing this country for the judgment of God. They don't realize that. But that's what they're doing with their abominable sins. Because God is a holy God, and He is not going to keep allowing abominable sins to be flaunted in His face, folks. And His Word tells us about how He's going to bring a conclusion to it all. Now, let's consider the man who's going to come on the scene who's worse than the leaders of the world today that's rebelling against the Lord. Yeah, there's one worse than them coming on the scene. He's the Antichrist, and most folks have heard of him. Fact of the matter is, he may even be in the world today, ready to step onto the world scene and begin his diabolic rule after the rapture of the church. He's the most wicked man in human history when he appears. We've had some dealies. There's been some awful wicked leaders in the world. Liars, murderers, false messiahs. And this one's going to be the cream of the crop when he comes on the scene, because he's really going to be Satan's man like no other man. Yes, he is. And all who accept him will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone with him. And boy, that's going to be a sad ending for all of them. Now, in Revelation 13, 1, 2, and verses 1 and 2, the Apostle John, who's been told some 12 times to write down what we have in the book of Revelation, he's told to write this down for us. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, John on the Aegean island out in the Mediterranean Sea, Aegean Sea that is, saw a beast rise up out of the sea, a monstrous beast is what he saw, having seven heads and 10 horns. That would look like a monster, wouldn't it? And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, or Satan, gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. This is a description of the revised Roman Empire in the last days. That's going to suddenly come back on into the forefront, and we see that developing right before our eyes today over in the European nations. And as we remember in history, the four great world empires, the Babylon Empire, the Mede-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and the Roman Empire, all of them were great, brutal empires ruled by wicked men, men of power, men who wanted power, who wanted control. And boy, they destroyed nations of people. And they didn't do it in a kind way, folks. It was brutal. And yet, this is a description with all the brutality of these four past world empires of how ferocious and brutal the Antichrist is going to be. This is symbolic of him. And so the Antichrist is going to be quite a character when he comes on the scene. Now, when he first makes his appearance, he's going to be very nice. He's going to be a great orator. He's going to bring peace to the world after the rapture of the church and everything is in a chaotic state. He's going to come and calm everything down and explain things away. He's going to tell a big lie, folks, and deceive people. That's what he's going to really do. Now, the Antichrist, he's a hater of God. He's a hater of the Word of God. And he's a hater of the people of God. And I remind you that even during the tribulation time, after the rapture of the church has been removed and all saved people have gone to be with the Lord, there's going to be a great multitude of people saved during the tribulation time. But during that time, the Antichrist is going to persecute those people. Oh, they're going to have it awful, folks. It's going to be awful to be a saved person during the tribulation time. Not a whole lot of them are going to survive. That's how rough it's going to be. Now in Revelation 13:3, John said, I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. So at some point, the Antichrist is going to receive a deadly wound. And somehow or other, although it appears everybody thought he was dead, somehow or another he's going to be revived. And the Bible says his deadly wound was healed. And as a result of that miracle, the world is going to really wonder after him. They're going to really cast great respect upon him for overcoming such a deadly wound to his head. The Bible says that the world will worship this dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They're going to worship the devil, folks. And that's what the devil has always wanted. And the devil is in the Antichrist. And you remember Satan even tried to offer Jesus when he first began his ministries, kingdoms of the world. If he would just worship him, I'll give you all these kingdoms, Satan said to Jesus. But Jesus didn't bite to his bait, folks, no. No, he was not going to sin. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He didn't come to do what he wanted. He came to please the Father. That's what he did. That's why he qualified to be our Savior, by dying upon a cross for our sins. And that's so important. And they that worship the Antichrist during the tribulation time will say, who is like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with him? In other words, he looked like nobody couldn't win a contest with him, that he's so powerful. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And that's mainly speaking about, it appears, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation time, when the Antichrist, at that time, midpoint of the tribulation, will demand to be worshipped, when he has a statue of him in the temple in Jerusalem and require people to worship him, or they can't buy, sell, see doctors. Oh, folks, it's going to be horrible. And they're going to be required to take his mark. And if you take his mark, you all automatically damn your soul to the lake of fire and brimstone. Now, in verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints, the Bible says. So midway, the tribulation time now, when the Antichrist requires that men take his mark, or they can't buy, sell, or trade, get medicine, have a job, support their sale. The Bible says it was given to him to make war with the saints. He's going to persecute God's people that's being saved during the tribulation time. It's really going to be difficult to live for the Lord during the tribulation time. And the Bible says he's not only going to make war with them, he's going to overcome them. And power was given him over all the kindreds, tongues, and nations. So all over this world, this wicked Antichrist, who is controlled by satanic power, will be destroying the lives of people and making life miserable for people. And it's going to be a time people's going to wish they'd have got saved before the rapture took place, folks. And you know, that's one interesting thing today. Right now, people could get saved, know the Lord, serve the Lord, and then when the rapture took place, they wouldn't face the Antichrist. They wouldn't face the tribulation time with all of its horrors and terrors and persecution. But no, people's going to say, I'm going to wait. I don't believe in all that. Well, you will when it happens. It's going to be too late then, when you're going to have to face the Antichrist and his tactics. All who are saved during the tribulation time will be persecuted by the Antichrist, and that means all. In verses 9 and 10, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God knows who's going to be saved, and their names is written down in the Lamb's book of life. But if a person's name is not written down in the Lamb's book of life, oh, folks, oh, it's going to be horrible, because it's going to be an awful time to be alive. Now, Antichrist, as I said, is going to be a wicked, wicked man. But he's going to have some help. You remember in old Western movies, they used to be the Western star. And then he'd have a sidekick. Someone usually that was a little on the comical side. Well, the Antichrist is going to have a sidekick. He's called a false prophet. He'll be a false Messiah, folks. He's going to aid the Antichrist, help him to be accepted by the masses of people, and help him to get his policies adopted by the people, folks, of the world. Help him in his rise to power. John writes down in verse 11 of Revelation 13, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb." You know, a lamb's a very gentle animal. Here recently, our neighbor across the street from us purchased him two little lambs. And they had them over there in a little pen there in the backyard. And sometimes they take those little lambs out of the pen. And those lambs would run around with them in the yard like little puppies. And they were the lovingest little animals. They were so cute. And, you know, I'd say to my wife, "Honey, I want me one. I want me one. Cutest little lamb, so gentle, so loving." Well, this false prophet's going to be a very gentle man when he comes on the scene. He's going to be very likable. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's going to be very nice. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that he has two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. His speech gives him away because he's a deceiver and he's a liar, just like the Antichrist, folks. Yeah, they're two of a kind. They're satanic men to be used at the tribulation time, as God is going to remove all unsaved people from the world during this 7 year of tribulation. Because he's going to get the world ready for Jesus Christ to come and set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. A kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of prosperity. And people are going to rejoice in the Lord. And people are not going to be allowed to outwardly sin without being dealt with right on the spot. Right on the spot, they'll be dealt with if someone is to sin when Jesus Christ is ruling his 1,000-year reign. Yeah. And so the Bible says this false Messiah, this false prophet, he'll exercise all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. See how he's going to help the Antichrist? Yeah, the devil's going to use him to get people to worship the Antichrist. And the Bible goes on and says, "And he causes them which dwell on the earth to worship the first beast," or the Antichrist. Boy, it's bad when someone helps someone go to hell, isn't it, folks? Isn't that bad? You know, that's what Jesus said about the Pharisees, that when they converted someone, you make them twice a candidate for hell as they were themselves. And that's what's happening here. Here is this false prophet. See, he's a prophet. He's a minister. Yeah, he's a religious leader. Let me tell you something about religious leaders, folks. You better watch religious leaders, because religion don't have salvation. There's no salvation in religion. You got to be born again. You got to be saved by the grace of God. You got to repent of your sin. You got to realize you're a sinner. and you need forgiveness, and that only Jesus Christ can forgive you. And you have to humble yourself and admit to the Lord Jesus you're a sinner and ask Him to forgive you. And He'll forgive you and save you if you'll trust Him. Commit your life to Him and start serving Him, my listeners and my friends here today. The Bible says, and He doeth great wonders so that He maketh fire come down from heaven. Imagine that, folks. Here's somebody with so much power, He can make fire come down from heaven. Remember how Elijah prayed and fire came down and consumed the sacrifices when his contest with Baal's prophets? Yeah, fire came down by Elijah praying. But you know, here's a wicked man. Here's a man that's Satan's man. And he can make fire come down too. But so, what's the point, preacher? The point is this. Just because somebody makes fire come down may not be they're a man of God. Elijah was, but the false prophet's not. And we got a lot of people today that's claiming they're performing miracles out there and they're healing people and they're doing this and they're doing that. Folks, you better be careful with such. Everything yellow is not gold. Yeah, Satan has power too. But the Bible says Satan's a deceiver, folks. And that's how he deceives people. And there's a lot of false people out there, so-called performing miracles, that's not really the genuine thing. No, not at all. The Bible says, He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which He had power to do in the sight of the beast. And listen, He goes on and says, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. So because this beast had survived his deadly wound, the false prophet said, you ought to make a statue, you ought to make an image, and you ought to have people to worship that image. Folks, that's idol worship. And God is against idol worship, folks. Yeah, God is against idol worship. And the Bible goes on and says that this false prophet had power to even give life to the image of that beast. You see how much ability he's going to have to deceive people in the tribulation time? And myriads of people are going to fall for it, folks. Myriads of people are going to fall for it. And the Bible says that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. If you don't worship this image, kill them. And you know, believers are not going to worship the beast. So what's going to be their fate? They're going to be martyred during the tribulation time, many of them. And the Bible says this false prophet, that he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had that mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And his number is 666. Yeah. I remember many, many years ago, when I first began our ministry, they changed our mailbox out in the country, and my number was 666. Well, I was on the radio then, and I think that was back in the early 70s sometime. And the next day, the mailman came by. I was waiting on him. I said, listen, I'm a preacher, And I got a mailbox here with the number 666. How about getting that changed to another number than 666? Well, they changed it for me. 668, I believe, is what they finally changed it to. But I didn't want to have a number that was a reminder of 666, folks. No, because that's the number of the Antichrist during the tribulation time. Well, now when we look down farther in this 13th chapter, let's actually look in the 14th chapter and see 144,000 saved Jews. John says, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000 having his father's name in their forehead. And that's 144,000 Jews that'll be saved during the tribulation time. That will be evangelists carrying the gospel all over the world so that people might be saved during the tribulation time. And the Bible says they've sung a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders around the throne of God. Now, the Bible goes on and tells us that these 144,000 men, that they were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. They were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no gall, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So these 144,000 Jews are redeemed. And they had lived a holy life unto the Lord. Now, in Revelation 14, verse 9, the fate of those who worship the Antichrist. The Bible says the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, listen to this, folks. Now, this is scary. This is really scary. And receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment will ascend up forever and ever, and they'll have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image or received his mark. Folks, it's going to be awful for any person to worship the Antichrist, to take his beast, because they seal their doom for eternity to the lake of fire and brimstone. Yeah, eternity in the lake of fire will be for all the unsaved of all ages, as far as that goes, according to the teachings of the Bible. Now, here's a precious verse in verse 13 of Revelation 14. John said, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The Bible says, blessed are the dead, people that die. You know, even today, when a believer in Jesus Christ dies, they leave this world of trouble and sorrow behind. They go to a place of peace, a place of joy, a place filled with love, folks. And there won't be any more troubles or heartaches there. Blessed are those that die in the Lord. At any time, my listeners today, you that's gathered here to worship the Lord here in church, how blessed to know when you die as a believer, your troubles, your sorrows have all come to an end. Now in John 14:14, John said, I looked and behold a white cloud upon the cloud, one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now it appears this must be the Son of God. And an angel comes out having on his head a golden crown, the Bible says, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple that's in heaven, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. In other words, what we have here is a picture of the end of the age and the Lord destroying all the unsaved that remains in the world. That's kind of a picture of what we see here. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the Bible says, that knows the Lord. Won't that be great, folks? How great it's going to be in heaven with the Lord. But those that have rejected him, that have denied him, and that sickle is used to cut off the unsaved from this old sin-sick, rebelling world. What a horrible that's going to be. The Bible says, and he that sat on the cloud thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came down from the temple in heaven, also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and they cried with a loud voice to him that had that sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And you know what actually comes about then is the battle at Armageddon, when that 200-man army from the east and maybe another million not only from China, from Japan, and from the Koreas, all of those people come to, and all the other nations of the world come down to Armageddon. And the last battle, that great battle that all men fear, when that battle is carried out, and the Lord uses his sickle to reap all the ungodly, all the unsaved, the Bible says the blood will be up to the horse's bridle for 200 miles. Folks, that's going to be a devastating battle. It's the battle of all battles. It's going to end all battles because the Lord Jesus Christ has come on the scene and he's going to save Israel, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to rule and reign in Israel for 1,000 years, if I've already noted. And we're marching that way today, folks. The nations are being prepared for that time today. How much longer it'll be, I have no idea. But it looks like it's rapidly coming forward, folks. And the Bible says, the Lord says, be ye ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man coming. Let me ask you something today. Do you know you're saved? Do you really know you're saved? Have you really repented of your sin? Have you really trusted Jesus Christ? Are you really living for the Lord, serving the Lord, trying to share the Lord? And are you enjoying the Lord? Well, if not, today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to confess sin, repent of sin, to get your life right with the Lord, because He could come at any moment, call us out to be with Him, and you don't want to be left behind. May God speak to hearts. Lord, thank You for the Word of God to warn us of the wrath of God to come. Lord, take Your Word, challenge hearts, and, oh God, save those that need salvation. And, Lord, help us all to be the people You'd have us to be. And may the grace of God bless us and use us for Your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.